How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest issues, etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Shurman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues, etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Time to respond to some of your comments. We have a great way for our listeners to comment, to question, to criticize, to make show suggestions. We call it the Issues Etc. comment line. The number is 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. And the way it works is anytime you want to call that number, and if you have a question about something we've said on the show, if you want to hear a show about something that we haven't talked about or you don't think we've talked about it enough, if you want to criticize something that has been said on the show, it all goes there right on the comment line. And as often as we can, we like to play those comments as they are and then respond to them. 618-223-8382, especially for our beloved on-demand listeners. Anytime you hear something and you want to respond, you don't have to respond in real time. Just use the Issues Etc. comment line. Let's begin with some thoughts about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's President Matt Harrison's testimony last week before a House committee.
This is Herman calling February 20th with this observation. As of this morning, there has been an evangelical Christian news source circulating and continuing to hold on to the story, the account of Pastor Matthew Harrison, president of the Missouri Synod, of giving testimony last week before the Congressional Committee on the health care insurance issue. It's interesting to note that this is holding through to this week in this Christian venue. And it may be that what is taking place is that through the things such as the Supreme Court decision involving the Missouri Synod school issue a while back, plus Pastor Matthew Harrison's statement that there may be an identity and traction building up for the Missouri Synod, independent of the merger-created ELCA that has seemingly eclipsed everything by its size. So we'll see how that goes. So thought I would bring that observation to you. Take care. Thank you.
Well, it's certainly, I mean, I think what you're saying there is that it's probably the most national press that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is likely to get ever in its long history. And I don't think that was the intention of the testimony, certainly, and I don't think you imply that anyway, but it certainly has been noted by the national press that this kind of strange Lutheran voice was able to speak briefly there in front of the Congress and articulate a lot of things that I just quite frankly, I don't know that either the national press, national media, or even kind of that niche religious media is necessarily getting. Lutheran theology is rather deep. It's like jumping into the deep end of a swimming pool in some ways. And some of the things that Pastor Harrison was saying there in front of that committee of Congress had that depth to them. I think the point that we need to remember here is is it nice to be noticed that they're a Lutheran? The last time the Lutherans were noticed at this national scale, it was because one of our district presidents was praying with alongside Oprah and other religions at Yankee Stadium. And while it got him a lot of good press, it gave the Missouri Synod a lot of bad press. Is it nice to be noticed for good or bad by the media? Maybe so, maybe not. It's not what the Missouri Synod is here for. I think Pastor Harrison put it well when he said he'd rather not be there, and I think that was a sincere sentiment on his part. Our task remains the same. Our task remains unchanged as Lutherans, and that is to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. That is, as Pastor Harrison so well said, that's our business. Our business is not to pop off on matters of religious liberty. That was a burden, a call that was laid upon him, and he thought it best, and I think he was right, to add the Lutheran voice to especially to the Roman Catholic voice in defense of religious liberty. But, you know, we should be content with the fact that much of the real important stuff that we do, and I think Pastor Harrison would completely agree, the real important stuff, that Lutherans do in the world will never get the attention of the cameras. And if it does, it will be completely misinterpreted. But that's not why we're there, not to garner attention, but to quietly go about our business, which is proclaiming Christ and Him crucified and serving our neighbor in love. It's nice to see some favorable press, but I was completely unsurprised by the fact that most of the media there covered it in a rather negative way.
Hey, gentlemen, this is Jean Lichtenfeld. I am in Overland Park, Kansas, for a conference with Mark, and we found Augsburg Lutheran Church from your located church listing, and we went there not knowing that y'all are connected with them otherwise. I mean, that you know them, that you've been there. And Father Watson and Father Wheaton are very close friends. And, it was just a pleasure worshiping with them this morning, receiving the gift. I can't wait to come back and next year for the conference, and we'll do it again. But thank you so much for having that listing and connecting us with other confessional Lutheran churches. It's a wonderful blessing. Always praying for you all. Thank you.
Part of what the Issues Etc. has done for years now, and it's not just through the Issues Etc. Find a Church page. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But it's also letting people know that they're not alone. That's what we most often hear from listeners, whether they're at first just becoming familiar with the theology that is so much a part of the Issues Etc. programming, or whether they have known it for years. We often hear from them, you know, where can I find this? Where can I find this in a church? Because Issues Etc. is a radio program. It's not a congregation. It's not a church. I'm not your pastor. Unless any of the members of the congregation where I serve as a pastor are listening, then yes, I am your pastor. But people say, and they rightly should ask the question, where can I find this in a church, in a congregation, where there is a pastor that can serve me with Christ's gifts, as Gene so rightly said? And that's one of the reasons we've got the Issues Etc. Find a Church page. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. It's right there along the top. Click on it, and you will see there the Issues Etc. 300 churches. They're not 300 of them yet, but we call them the Issues Etc. 300 because that's the goal that has been set. And these congregations sponsor Issues Etc., and we return the favor by putting their contact information there. I think we're going to add a feature here. I won't promise any time, but sometime soon we're going to add a feature where you can not only look at the list and get the contact information, but there's going to be a Google map form of the Find a Church where you can actually locate it on the map. If you're in Kansas City, as Gene was for that conference, you can go to that map and it'll show you with little pins where the Issues Etc. 300 congregations are and give you directions to them as well. Anybody want to know about the Issues Etc. 300? I want you to know about it. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. You see the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Click that link and you'll find out more about your congregation becoming part of the Issues Etc. 300. There's a flyer that you can download and print off, take to your congregation. This is a good time right now, by the way. Congregations are getting ready to get into that cycle of thinking about their budgets and setting their budgets. They're starting those conversations. Start early, ask early that your congregation join the Issues Etc. 300. Here's some feedback about our recent series on pastors and elders.
This is Paul in Milwaukee regarding the three-part series on pastor and elders with Pastor Mensch, author of a recent Concordia Publishing House book on the topic. If the point of how elders should be chosen or removed was discussed, I missed it. I suppose elders can be appointed or elected. I did catch that any lay assistant to the pastor should not be a hand-picked, like-minded favorite of the pastor. Is elder selection a matter of indifference? As to biblical examples, it is doubtful that the early church thought of or knew about Greek democracy or wanted to imitate declining Roman republicanism that might appeal to American citizens today. Then there is the Matthias method or the wait on tables appointment. Does Pastor Mensch have a post-program recommendation? Thanks for listening.
And thank you very much. If you listened to the last segment of that series, a three-part series that we did with Pastor Mech on pastors and elders. We answer some of the questions about who should be and who shouldn't be elders, and that may provide an answer to your question about appointment or disposal of elders. They can be elected, they can be appointed, they can be. You can throw lots if you want to. What you want is a pool of men who are truly qualified and willing to serve in that capacity, and then you simply let the votes fall where they may. When we talked about it not being a handpicked group of kind of sycophants for the pastor, that is to protect the pastor from himself. And that's to protect the congregation from the pastor. Because pastors are sinners, and because pastors like it when people agree with them, one of the most dangerous things you can do, they should be in doctrinal agreement with their pastor. They should be in complete doctrinal agreement with their pastor. I think that's a basic prerequisite. But agreeing about how everything ought to be done or what should be done or all of the issues that should come before them, one of my predecessors here on Issues Etc. often said that it may be a good idea for the pastor to have someone who, you know, is kind of a thorn in his side serve as one of the elders, someone who is there to call him on his bull, because pastors got bull just like everybody else does. So while we want doctrinal agreement, while we want agreement in our theology, we probably would be best to choose men who may challenge the pastor, and also think about pastors who can challenge those men as well. That brings us to our Issues Etc., book of the month for February, even as the month wanes away. Pastors and Elders is a great resource to answer a lot of the questions raised by Paul in Milwaukee and many others that you may have about pastors and elders. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc., book of the month for February. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Pastors and Elders Caring for the Church and One Another. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. And when we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Al Culver of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod talking about early Lutheran mission work in India, Nigeria, and Papua New Guinea, and how, well, really Lutherans have always considered themselves to be a missionary church. We'll be right back. Why don't you hit me with your best shot? Hit me with your best shot. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
No weather reports necessary. We broadcast to the world. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Sometimes businesses step up and do the right thing, and Target and Nordstrom deserve a pat on the back. Both companies have used children in their advertising. Recently, both have made a positive statement about children with Down syndrome by featuring them in print ads. 6-year-old Ryan was featured in Nordstrom's anniversary catalog and in Target's early January ads. Ryan's parents are pleased with their son's visibility, saying, "Ryan is a beautiful boy inside and out. He makes us better parents and a better family." Sadly, about 90% of parents who receive a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome abort their unborn babies. If additional companies were to highlight the blessings of children with Down syndrome, more parents might choose to give life to theirs.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.